This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Open for Business. I want to talk to you about something that's located in Chinatown, Rex Kale. It's an indoor art, retail, and food hub. It occupies a historical building constructed before the Japanese occupation in 1947, survived three fires, and within Rex Kale, they've got the background, an all-day dining marketplace for their community to eat and drink. They have Lauk Palk, which is a plant-based urban warung. A whole bunch of other stuff. There's stuff that I want to talk about, and I have a couple of people on the phone with me right now who are much more familiar with the place to talk. Gentlemen, would you like to introduce yourselves, please?
Sure. Hi, I'm Xin Zheng, and next to me is Xin Chang, my partner.
Hi, I'm Xin Chang.
We are both guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So the two of you are the founding partners who co-founded Rex Kale back in late 2018. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's also, there are another five of us. And the two of them are as well in the industry, architecture and design.
Well, let's talk a little bit, obviously, about Rex Kale then. It's an iconic building down there in Kale. What was it originally that drew you to the building? Was it somewhere that you may have frequented when you were younger? Did you walk past it? And, you know, what was it that kind of, how did it beckon you?
Well, I mean, Rex Cinema is an iconic building, so for all the KL people. So I grew up in KL. So basically that is the place that we always go, and really, like, you know, we enjoy the moment when we're younger. So, but right. It was kind of run down because of multiplex mushrooming around KL.
Yeah.
So it was, I think they, before, after the cinema, before Rex Kale going in, it was a hostel.
Yeah.
So that was before us. So we took over the building around 2018, right? Mm-hmm. And we started the business on 2019.
During the process of you guys kind of taking over Rex Kale and working on this project, how important to you was it for it to be somewhat representative of how it used to be?
I think what Xin Chang mentioned just now, it was an iconic building in a way, in cultural sense, where people remember it as a place for Western movies, a place, almost an institution to explore, cinematography. So in that sense, we can't really restore that golden era, but we try to reinterpret it in the contemporary way, right?
Got it.
So it was a place for people to come together. It was a cinema for 1,200 people. So it's a huge cinema for everyone to come together and watch one movie at one time, which is quite bizarre to think about it in our time. So in that spirit, how can we relive that golden era in a contemporary manner? So we have to repurpose it, put in different program that still fits that definition of an iconic to go to place, right? For our parents' generation, but for the future. So I think what Xin Chang was mentioning just now is really a difficult decision to not demolish too much of what it was and preserve a part of history, including the fire marks on the wall. To us, those are quite important trace of history and in the cinema.
They're a chapter of its history.
Exactly. And we can't go back to the past, right? So we can only look forward and think of what this can represent in the future.
And how important do you think it was to the people of KL back then and to KLites in its golden era? Was it the place to go and watch Western movies?
I think it's more on the purpose of the building. So I think there's always a mission from our side. We want to build a platform for all the independent artists and also young entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a platform. It's a hub. So I think for KL people, I think in KL, we kind of lack of this sort of platform. And I think it's important because we are sort of surrounding by all these big corporates and shopping malls. And it's just that I think we need an alternative, a place for alternative artists and all culture show. And yeah, this is quite serious. I think it's important.
I completely agree. Yeah. I completely agree. There are so many malls in Malaysia, so many malls in KL, and they all, to me, they feel completely stale and sterile and, you know, exactly the same pretty much. And the only difference is where the escalators are located. It is often something that I find.
Even the brands.
Exactly. The brands are all the same, no matter where you go, whichever one you walk into. And they're constantly popping up like mushrooms. Anyway, let's take a short break here. And when we come back, talking about, you know, the business model, the strategy, and how you're helping to rejuvenate things down there in Petaling Street. All right. Folks, I'm on the phone with the guys behind Rex KL right now. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business. We'll be back in just a minute here on BFM 89.9.
Binge-friendly movies. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. My name is Rich Bradbury. We are talking about Rex KL today. If you don't know what Rex KL is, it's located in Chinatown. It's an indoor art, retail and food hub. It occupies a historical building constructed before the Japanese occupation in 1947. It has survived three fires, and within Rex KL, they've got The Background, which is an all-day dining marketplace for their community to eat and drink. There's Lao Pao, which is a urban warung, a completely plant-based menu, all kinds of other stuff. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming back. Now, we were talking a little bit about, you know, how important it is to KL and KLites, but let's talk about, you know, specifically that area around Petaling Street. And how Rex KL is helping to revitalize downtown KL, you know, helping to rejuvenate the economy a little bit with local businesses, local enterprise, and local communities. How are you guys involved in that? What do you think is your involvement?
Richard, those are really big words that we wouldn't use to describe the project. We look at ourselves as part of the big movement of what they call the Downtown KL Collective, which perhaps led by a few agencies and a collective of place owners. To us, we look at Rex KL as one of the hubs that perhaps fit in the gap of what KL is lacking, which is a platform for alternatives or independent artists and business owners.
Yeah.
That is what we're trying to play a part in a whole bigger ecosystem or network of downtown KL. We wouldn't say that we are rejuvenating this area, but it definitely play a part in bringing back a lot of attention when you have, you know, perhaps events or concerts in Rex KL that people, you know, accidentally stumble upon this part of town that's been forgotten for a while. So, yeah, it's good to be part of that. We're working with our neighbors and people around from the community, the local owners to GLC, just to, you know, play a part in in this downtown movement.
And do you find yourselves being contacted more now by GLCs? Because, you know, it's a cool building. People want to be seen in it.
Yeah, this is the nice thing about working on this project is that it opens up so many doors and contacts even to the people that we never thought we would, mm-hmm. you know, get in touch with us. Being a space that is, if you look at Rex KL, it's a huge space in a very dense area, right? It has a lot of potential, and there's not many buildings like that in this part of town. So we get a lot of inquiries. For example, we're working with Chindana for the coming month for this Art in the City. It will turn into a really interesting visual art space for December. So those are one of the things that we never dreamt, you know, would come through. But it is definitely an opportunity to many things.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk to me a little bit about your business model?
It's a 60,000 square feet space.
60,000.
Yeah. So we are,
it's huge.
In a way. In a way, it's like I know we talk about mall just now. You know, we have nothing against mall in the city. I think malls are the providers of most of the public spaces, which is good, right? Which is what we need. Social spaces as well. But the problem is coming a cookie cutters, right, when it comes to business model, which we are trying to perhaps make a difference, right, in Rex KL by treating it differently through curation of tenants, curation of events, programs that we have. So we focus a lot on independent artists and business owners.
Yeah.
That gives, you know, a bit of an edge to what we do here. The business model is quite fluid at this moment. We have a few, you know, we have a few models that we are working on. Look, we have the main part of bread and butter, which is the food component, which is the background, is what we call it. It's a food hall on the ground floor. And it goes up, we have some retail spaces, then we have event space, and we have a bookstore opening next one or two. Then we have a rooftop restaurant and bar. So in a way, in a nutshell, it's almost like a small mall, but I would like to look at it as a more like a creative hub for the community.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea. Now, obviously, we're living in very strange times right now. What happened during the worst periods of the pandemic? You know, were you guys completely locked down? Was nothing happening? Were your doors shuttered? And how did you manage to, get through that period?
Some therapies helped. it's quite a depressing time,
Kind of.
Quite badly affected.
We can't do events at all for the whole, whole lockdown period.
Even now, it's a lot of red tapes, you know, when you want to run events. So we are quite careful when it comes to this. But again, it's event is a big part of, or even the soul of Rex KL. But we also have food components, which sort of...
I think the food has come quite equally compared to the events.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that helps us through that period, through delivery, working with our food partners, revamping the branding. That's where Lao Pao that you mentioned came along during the time, because we thought might as well do something crazy, right? Plant-based warong. That's that. Then they agreed to it. It's been quite an interesting journey.
And how's that been, turning it all plant-based? What's the kind of interest in it being like?
Oh, it's still under experimental stage,
right? As in,
with the response from customers, and I think people still need time to accept that it's a bit too new for the general public.
Yeah, I think it's one of a good testament to what we're trying to do here, using local ingredients, but meet the contemporary needs of say healthy diet, you know, clean eating, ethical sourcing, these sort of things. I think traditional food or Malaysian flavors are has a lot of potential or room to explore in that sense. That's what we set a target to be a plant-based warung that allows us to explore a lot of indigenous plants or flavors
For sure.
With the operators, right?
Yeah. I mean, my girlfriend is vegan and has been for 7 years. The second I showed her the place, she's like, okay, we're going. And I'm like, can I interview them first and find out a bit more about it?
So, I'll give you some discount with the car.
don't need it. No. I don't need a discount. I don't need a discount. But we will be coming to visit for sure. Now, what do you, you know, this is one of those questions that I have to ask. I've got two questions really before I let you guys go. And one of them obviously is about funding. This cannot have been a cheap project, you know, to get it off the ground back in 18. And I know that Pitchin was part of the whole fundraising process. Was it difficult getting money together to get this thing, you know, figured out?
So Pitchin comes in when we're trying to nudge towards what we call RexKL 2.0, which is the second phase of the development of in the building. So for the first activation, we focus a lot on events, the cinema hall, programming, and for RexKL 2.0, we need a lot of hardwares and infrastructures. That's where Pitchin comes in to help us raise funding for that, so we could further upgrade the food hall.
I see.
Put in, you know, necessary to cater for future shows. You know, the stairways to the bookstores. leaking problem, or this basic infrastructure of the old building where they need to fix. So through this, we also embarked on a journey of fine-tuning a more resilient business plan, which I found is quite an inspiring process working with new investors and funders who believe in us, try to speak our language, coming from the investor's point of view. That helps us, right, to further develop a better business plan for the next 3-5 years, especially during the pandemic time. So it was quite a good exercise internally, I would say. And great thing is we managed to raise fund for RexKL 2.0 for the rest of the upgrades.
Brilliant. Okay, obviously, final question then, and you've kind of alluded to it there. What's the future hold then for RexKL?
What is the future?
What is the future?
I think RexKL is an ongoing project. So hopefully we can set a certain benchmark for businesses around us. So we see how we can revitalize together.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Richard.
Looking forward to have you in
For sure. I'll give you guys a nudge when I'm coming down there.
Sure.
It'd be nice to meet you both. Thank you very much for spending time with me today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Folks, you're tuned in to Open for Business. I've been on the phone with two of the founding partners for RexKL, Xintang and Xintang. If you missed any part of this podcast, please download it and listen back to it wherever you normally would. I recommend the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. My name is Rich Bradbury for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.